It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Dr. Vika Brewster. Dr. Brewster practices with us at White Spruce Medical, and today we're going to talk about recent medical research. Dr. Brewster, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So I love doing this show every month or so, or sometimes 2 months or so, but we go through the medical literature, which is what we're doing anyways as a matter of course in our job doing research. But we pull out some of our favorites, and we get a chance to talk about them. And boy, there's a lot of interesting research out right now. We talk about all research from all different kinds of things, but I absolutely have a theme today, which is healthy bacteria. It turns out literature is just blowing up research about bacteria and the benefits of it.
Woohoo! Finger snapping time.
All right, but I don't necessarily want to start, since you're the guest. I will graciously let you go first.
Wonderful. I also have a theme. With all the recent surges, I kind of focused on COVID. And this is supposed to be informative, so take deep breaths during this. I know it's kind of a scary time for some people, but as you probably know, the CDC opened their website for free COVID tests on the 18th. So definitely go ahead and order that. They say that you can order up to 4 home tests, and that will all be covered. It's at covidtest.gov, and you only have to give them your name and mailing address. You don't have to give any other information. Your email address if you want to be updated, but not necessary. And the rapid antigen test only takes 30 minutes. It is highly specific, but it's less sensitive. So if you get a positive, you definitely have COVID. If you get a negative, you probably don't have COVID, is what that means. So it's really helpful in that area. It's not as sensitive as a PCR. So if you have symptoms, but you had a negative, definitely go get that checked out. I know that... oh my gosh, I'm like blanking on the name of the college here.
UAF.
Thank you. UAF has free testing. And you can do same day. You just drive up, get the picture on your phone, sign up, and they have it to you within an hour. So, yeah, I just wanted to go over that.
Okay, I got a comment on this one. First of all, let me make not a comment, but make a statement, which is we already ordered ours. Because I was interested to have it. I know. Bam, day one.
I was nervous that the website was going to crash, so I wanted to wait a little bit. But, you know, so far so good. So, okay, you know, so usually government-based things aren't fully operative all the time. So
I was a kid that Reagan gave away cheese. So I don't know. I they blocks of cheese. I kid you not. I got a block of cheese. From Ronald Reagan, send me cheese.
I want a block of cheese. How do I get on that? Is it too late?
Yeah, it's too late. I want to tell you, it's too late. Don't even try. So I was like, cool. They're sending me some free tests. So that's nice.
Yeah.
The comment I have is, I suspect that the COVID rate's going to go up, skyrocket-y, because of people getting these tests. Now, not everybody's necessarily going to report it. But the numbers, just because if you more testing means more people are going to come up positive, which is not necessarily a bad thing because people know they have COVID, they'll be able to hunker down and quarantine better. Right now, if you get a sniffle or you get exposed, you're not necessarily going to go and get a test and pay the money or go through the trouble one way or the other. So my suspicion, in fact, I don't have a suspicion, I know this for a fact, is that a lot of COVID goes unreported.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I think it'll be a surge and then a dive down because we don't have to go elsewhere and like potentially expose ourselves if we don't have it to go get tested.
Yeah. You know, I'm not one for doing predictions. I mostly stay away from them.
Yeah.
But I am going to do a prediction. No, I'm going to predict right now. I'm going to go out on a limb and make a prediction that this Omicron thing is the last we're going to see of the pandemic. This one's gone. COVID is going to go to the background.
Geez, I hope so.
I really do. I think that's what's going to happen. I think this is going to be the last hurrah. It's going to go through our society, go through the world, and then fade to the background. Now, don't get the wrong impression. COVID's with us forever. It's not going away. But it'll become a background thing and manageable thing. You know, because most of the diseases that have ravaged humanity never disappeared. They're still around. I mean, you could still get plague if you're in the right place, or rather say wrong place, wrong time. You could still get plague. Though it's not near as deadly as it was back in the day, same as COVID. Generally speaking, there's exceptions to this, but generally speaking, as diseases mature, they become less deadly. Not always. Again, there's exceptions to this. But the general rule is they get less deadly. And that's certainly, COVID's certainly following that rule. Now, it's not to say we couldn't get some, epsilon strain that ends up being twice as deadly as any other before.
I don't want that prediction.
I do not predict that. I am on the record for predicting that does not happen. That's not what we're going to do. And if it does, at some point, who cares? Because we're all going to be immune to it because we've either got vaccinated or had it. Now, there's exceptions. There are some people who's by, blind luck or planning don't get exposed at all, haven't got it one bit. But those people are going to be in the minority. The majority of us will have either got it and survived or got vaccinated and survived that, for that matter. So, good. I'm glad you brought that. This is news you can use, right?
Amen.
This is a practical show here. Okay, yeah. I have less practical stuff here, but I'm going to bring it out anyways. One of the things that we treat at our clinic is cancer. We don't do the cancer treatment directly. What we end up doing is keeping people healthy while they go through their cancer treatments. And there is a lot that you can do, a lot of things that you can do to counteract the effects of the chemo without getting in the way of the chemo being effective. The number one problem that people have as they go through chemotherapy is it damages the lining of their digestive system. The chemotherapeutic agents tend to have most of their effect on rapidly dividing cells, which cancer is. Other than cancer, the rapidly dividing cells in your body are your hair, which a lot of times is either damaged or lost in doing chemo, your skin, which likewise is, it suffers, and your digestive system. Mm-hmm. There's more turnover in your digestive system than anywhere else in your body. You'll grow a completely new lining to your digestive system every 3 days. That's how long those cells last. The new cell is born, lives 3 days, and then ends up breaking up, and you digest it, just like you did your food. About a third of the protein you eat every day is you.
Wow.
It's a lot. And we don't throw it away. We recycle it. It gets broken down. You absorb it and use it to make new cells. So the integrity of the lining in your digestive system is super important for your health. It's super important for your digestion, for your ability to absorb things, and it's what often will break down when you get chemo. When it breaks down, you get nauseous, because nausea is a natural protective mechanism to keep you from eating anything dodgy. So if you get damaged to your digestive system, you get nauseous, and it's misery. I mean, the seventh level of hell is where you barf all the time, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. It's just misery. And the other thing that happens commonly is your body senses something's wrong, and when it senses something's wrong, it triggers diarrhea, and you get the dump reflex. So you're losing it on both ends if it's bad enough. So, not to say that everybody always gets the full-on blown thing, but a lot of people get a piece of it, or maybe even the full-blown thing, where they're barfing and pooping at the same time.
And that's the time when you want to, regain as much energy as you possibly can to, continue fighting. So if it's going out...
Yeah, and you're losing, not only do you losing, everything in your colon, you're losing electrolytes, it weakens you, makes you dehydrated. There's a bunch of bad stuff that happens with that. We want to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
Not treat it once it happens. I mean, if it does happen, we want to treat it for sure. But the better way to do it is to make sure it never happens at all, ever. Just you skip that whole stage of side effects. And it is doable. It is not an unrealistic goal. It's a realistic goal. In fact, we do it all the time. This is a normal thing in our practice to have people go through the chemotherapy and not get nausea and vomiting, or at least get less, or not get diarrhea. Again, at least get less. Now, one of the most powerful tools we have to do this is to put people on probiotics. And the probiotics help restore the beneficial environment that's inside of people's digestive systems. Now, here's the research. This is all the setup for the actual research. Here's the research. The research was done in China. Zhang Tong was the lead author on this one. And they looked at breast cancer patients and the rate of chemo brain. That's when people, their brains get addled. They don't remember things right. They can't solve problems right. They get foggy brained. It's a common affliction of cancer treatment. And they gave them probiotics. And these weren't super fancy probiotics. They're basically just basic probiotics, three different organisms, Bifidobacterium, a Lactobacillus, and an Enterococcus faecalis, those three. And what they found was that with mild cognitive impairment, about half of the chemo people got that, who didn't get any treatment. Of the people who were taking the probiotic, about a third of them got that. So it went from a half to a third. Now, with moderate cognitive impairment, where you really was addling your brain, you're like, what happened to your head, right? They went from having about a third of people who weren't taking anything would get a moderate cognitive impairment, and people on the probiotics, only 6% got it. So these are not small numbers. These are significant improvements. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a surefire bet to prevent you from getting some degree of cognitive impairment, but in many cases that there was none, more than not. And then even when it was bad, it was only 6% of those people got it.
Yeah, no, that's amazing.
Yeah, I think that was really useful. This is interesting research that came out. Now, it doesn't really affect our practice that much because we were doing this already. There's that. So, but still, it's nice to have it out there and have the proof and to realize, like, percentage-wise, what your chances, you know, how they go down in terms of getting cognitive impairment or how they go up in terms of not getting cognitive impairment, however you want to say it. You know, it's a significant amount. Those numbers are pretty big. It wasn't 2%. You know, we're looking at, 15%, 20% depending on you're looking at it.
Would you use the probiotic that has those specific strains that the research studied, or do you think just the probiotics that we carry would be sufficient, or do you think any type of probiotic?
That's an excellent question. And here's the thing. The research, I appreciate them doing this thing, but I want to tell you, it's not the actual bugs that they gave. It's not. What it really turns out to be, more than anything, is the environment that the bugs live in. That's the key. It's not the probiotics themselves. It's the fact that the probiotics feed healthy gut function. It's not the probiotics. It's the healthy gut. It is. Great. It's the fact that the cells that line the digestive system are not falling off. Mm-hmm. They're healthy. They're sticking on and they're doing their job. That's the reason why there's less cognitive impairment. And you think, really? I can see why there'd be less diarrhea, but cognitive impairment, how's that connected? The answer is these organisms that grow in us or bad things that grow in us, they make a bunch of stuff that makes us, our brains not work right. They're called toxins. Mm-hmm. Now, toxins is a fancy name for this. What it really is microscopic poop. It's poop. The little microbes, they eat stuff and they poop it out. And then it's in us. I mean, we absorb it. It goes around in our bloodstream and it affects us. It addles us. One of the parts of our body that gets addled is our brains. And it's not the probiotics they're actually helping because that's what the research shows. But it's the mechanism. The mechanism is having a healthy gut environment. So with that in mind, it's not just about the probiotics. It's also going to be about what you eat. Mm-hmm. Now, if you put in food and fiber content and all that stuff, now you've just complicated the research so much you can't tell what the heck's going on. There's too many variables. So what they do is they take those variables out and they just look at the one thing. So they got percentage, you know, some decent percentage improvement, but we can get better improvement than that if, while you're taking the probiotics, you also increase your fiber supplement. And what we like to use is chia seeds, but there's lots of fiber in the world that's helpful. Chia seeds are particularly good because they have a lot of oil in them, and the oil's anti-inflammatory. And there's some protein in them, and they're easy to digest because they're teeny and they're small.
And the texture is fun.
And the texture is – fun is a great word. Problematic may be a more realistic word because they're awfully moist.
I love it. It's like bringing tapioca texture to everyday drinks.
What you do is you take chia seeds and you soak them in dilute fruit juice. And then drink it down. You can buy them at Fred Meyer, or you can just make it at home for a fraction of the cost. Mm-hmm. And it's fabulous for your guts. That'll actually do more good than doing the probiotics, because what you're doing is you're feeding the healthy bacteria. And if you feed them, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not to say probiotics aren't helpful. Probiotics are definitely helpful. That's what the research shows. They're helpful. And they're helpful in more ways than we realize. One of the things that didn't get mentioned in this in terms of a mechanism is that those toxins I mentioned from the bad bacteria, they can be soaked up so that they don't get into circulation. They can be trapped where they don't hurt us. And what is the best trapping agent that there is on the planet? Probiotics! Seriously, those little bugs, they suck up those toxins and they'll trap them. Or they'll get trapped in their coating. There's a coating around the bacteria. And the toxins will get picked up and trapped as a way to neutralize them by the organisms. So it turns out they're a very effective sponge to keep the toxins from getting into circulation, and that's one of the beneficial aspects of it. I mean, we can go on and talk about this, but we're going to use exactly the whole half hour to do this one research. I think it's super neato. It relates to cancer, but it relates to more than just cancer. Always with this research, I always want to think, is this practical? Can we actually use it? This one is practical in spades. Because you don't have to be going through chemotherapy to get the advantages of doing probiotics. You can just be healthy or mildly sick or whatever. There's a zillion different diseases. This, getting your digestive system to run better, look, it's going to help you no matter what you got. Seriously. And again, we could go on and on and on about all the different aspects. The interesting thing about this research, though, is that it focuses on the mental aspects, not the nausea, not the vomiting, not the diarrhea, not the constipation, not the cramping that you get in your guts, all the things you would expect. In this case, it's chemo brain that it's helping. So remember that. Heaven forbid you have to ever go through cancer treatment. You got to remember that you don't want to get chemo brain. And your chance of getting chemo brain, according to this research, is about half and half, 50-50. So if you can take this, you're going to decrease your chances a lot. If you can do the other things we mentioned here, you can decrease your chances even more. Now, I don't have any research to prove that, but I got plenty of practical experience of working with people and watching them go through chemo and be healthier than everybody else in the room. I mean, that's normal for patients to come see us. Okay, now I'll take a breath. Okay, we're here with Dr. Vika Brewster, and we're talking about recent medical research. Okay, so whoa. Let's take a break right now. We're going to come back. Dr. Brewster's going to have an interesting research for us.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more Health Talk.
One in four people will have heartburn this week. One in six suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion, do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guests on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know. You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more Health Talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Dr. Vika Brewster, and we're talking about medical research. And Dr. Brewster is works with us at White Spruce Medical. So what do you got for us?
Okay, so the other thing that I found, so we always knew that there was a relationship between EBV and multiple sclerosis.
EBV is Epstein-Barr virus.
Yes, Epstein-Barr virus, correct, which is part of the herpes family. Yes, causes mono. If you've ever gotten the kissing disease, then you have had EBV. And there's association with it, and they've now done a cohort study using 10 million people, and, you know, they went back, they saw that there
So this cohort studies are different from regular study because they're looking for trends, right?
Right, right.
It's not proof.
Correct.
It's just trends.
Yeah, because, you know, ethically, we can't really give people EBV and watch to see what happens. So, you know, we have to go back in time. And so basically, they found out that the 955 people who were diagnosed with MS, the mean average was that they had EBV in the majority of them around like 7 years prior. So there is a giant causation now shown with this study. So it's very exciting because it kind of gives another avenue of exploration that we can go down to treat MS because, you know, maybe something that we should do when treating MS is treating the EBV.
So EBV, I was learned about this in school was you get the mono and then your body makes antibodies against it and then you get better, except for you don't always get better. That it turns out that it was incorrect. Sometimes people do exactly what I just told you. Many times they don't get better all the way. It lingers.
Mm-hmm.
And what they end up getting is tired. And if they exercise, they get worse. If they do overexert, they get worse. They feel really bad. And eventually they coined a name for this because they didn't know Epstein-Barr was causing it. They called it chronic fatigue. And then they discovered that Epstein-Barr was part of chronic fatigue. So they started testing everybody with chronic fatigue. And it turns out only some of them had Epstein-Barr and some of them didn't. And then they scratched their heads again like, well, what's causing chronic fatigue? It turns out a bunch of things. COVID.
Oh, yes.
Can cause chronic fatigue, except we don't call it chronic fatigue. What we call it is long COVID. Mm-hmm. But it's the same story, which is you get the bug, your body doesn't fight it off all the way. It creates this lingering effect, and you end up never recovering from it 100%. So, and with the EBV, there's a different kinds of antibody tests we can run. The VCA test is the one that's most sensitive to people in this situation. It's a viral capsule antigen. If we see somebody with that one, we know that they have this simmering case of Epstein-Barr, and then we can focus in and treat it. Here's the good news. There's a zillion treatments for it. We do all kinds of stuff, mostly with herbs, and we treat it, and people get better routinely, which is lovely, because for years and years and years, if you had chronic fatigue, you were just, you know, out of luck, and there was nothing anybody could do. There was no drug or anything you could do. And at this point in time, we know how to treat this, and it is very satisfying. I love it when people show up with this thing and puts a big smile on my face. They go, yes, this one I got. So interesting research.
Definitely. Yeah, and having, you know, the conventional medications to treat the immune system are to turn it off or turn it on, and botanical medicine can, like, get at the actual problem without creating the side effects of changing the immune system to that much. So it's really, it's exciting what we can do with botanical herbs.
So this is too much technical information for all of our listeners, but I'm sorry, I'm going to have to throw this out anyways. Lomatium is an herb we use.
Yes.
Mahonia is an herb we use. Glyceriza is an herb we use.
Hypericum.
There's a bunch of them that are super helpful.
Usnea.
Yeah, that's right. Usnea is another one. Biden's is another one. There's a bunch of things. Andrographis is another one. And you would get a good combination of these things together. Now, admittedly, they're so bitter, they'll curl your hair. They just taste horrible. But what are you going to do? You know, you got to break some eggs and make an omelet. It tastes bad. I'm sorry. But if you're motivated enough, you'll be able to choke this stuff down.
Oh, yeah. No motivation like fatigue.
Okay. So we're getting close to the end of the show, but I got one I want to share. This is research that was done back in October. So most of the stuff we're looking at is like in the last week, by the way. But this one's a little bit older, but it was too juicy. I had to pull it out. This one They were trying to figure out how to treat Clostridium difficile. Clostridium difficile is a horrible infection. You get a bacterial infection that is potentially deadly. And it kills people every year. And antibiotics don't work very well. A lot of times, if somebody comes in with a C. diff infection, that's what they call it, Clostridium difficile, C. diff, they'll do antibiotics and they'll clear it up pretty nicely. And then 3 weeks later, they got the disease back. And so they'll run another course of antibiotics and it'll clear it up, except for it doesn't clear it up, and then it comes back. That's a normal thing. And when it comes back, it tends to come back worse. It tends to be more debilitating, and eventually people can die from this. And the doctors are extremely frustrated because the antibiotics don't work. I've had people come to me who had been on three, four, five even courses of antibiotics. They're on their way to the Mayo Clinic, and some of their neighbors said, go see Dr. Looper. And knock on wood, we've been able to turn over every single one of the cases that have come to us. Now, this interesting thing that what they've been doing is they've been using this pill to treat C. diff that's been more effective than any other pill they've used. And they've been doing this more and more, and words on the street that this particular pill works better than the antibiotics to treat C. diff. Any idea what this pill is? Yeah, that's right.
Pro.
it's freeze-dried human feces.
Oh.
That's what it is. It's a poop pill. Kid you not. That's exactly what's in it. They take poop, they freeze-dry it, and they make it into a powder, they put it in the pill, and they have people swallow it, and that is what's treating the C. diff more effectively than anything else they're using.
So like a fecal transplant, but less...
Pill-wise.
Less gross. Yeah, no,
you don't have to get the blender out. There's not so much tubage involved in the fecal transplant. Seriously, not kidding you. This is all true. And what they've tried to figure out, why does it work so much? And what they discovered was, and this is a duh, but nonetheless, this is the research. They discovered it works by increasing biodiversity of the bacteria that live in your digestive system. That's what it does. So what you're getting is you're getting an implant of some healthy human being who does not have C. diff, who's got resistance to it, and you inherit their resistance.
I really hope that this becomes so popular that it's like, you know, deciding that you want to get a donor when you want to create a child with someone else, and you get to like pick out who they are, you know, be like, oh, this person's been, you know, a vegan for 10 years. This person eats this variety of like meats and vegetables. I'm going to combine these two.
Well, I'm hoping that Glenner is listening, because Glenner has been very generous at donating his poop for our use in our patients. Now, we have not taken him up on that. Thank you, Glenner. I appreciate your sacrifice.
Haven't taken him up on it yet.
The funny thing is we actually haven't had to do fecal transplants at all. We're set up to do it. We have all the stuff. I don't know if you knew that, but we're set up to do it. We are.
Oh my gosh.
And the freeze-dried poop and the whole thing, the whole lock, stock, and barrel.
What?
But we've never actually had to do it, because what we do accomplishes the same goal. I mean, I've always been so excited about it, like, I'm ready to do it, but it's always like, oh, everybody just gets better. I've literally never had a failure, so no one's ever had to come and do this thing. So what we end up doing with people is we build up their diversity of their organisms in their body the old-fashioned way, by feeding them probiotics, by feeding them fiber, by doing the chia seed thing. Honestly, that was the thing that's helped the most, is by doing the chia seeds we talked about earlier. You take a couple of tablespoons of chia seeds and mix it with some dilute purple juice. Blueberry juice works really well. Cherry juice works really well. Pomegranate juice works well, stuff like that. The purple is key. The two tablespoons that it's a dilute, this concentrated juice is too much, it's too strong. But you do the dilute juice with it, and then you drink it every day, and it turns the case. Yeah, there's more to it than that. There's all the herb thing we mentioned earlier. That's part of it as well. There's a bunch of kinds of things we do. But the key take-home message on this one is that the diversity of bacteria, that is, you have more different kinds of bacteria in your digestive system, has a fabulous effect on your health. Not only preventing you from having infections, which this one is about, but also preventing you from getting Alzheimer's and heart disease an autoimmune disease. And then we had a bunch more research that I could have gone into that we don't have the time for that was going to look at each, every one of those right now. Again, the medical research right now is just blowing up with this microbiome thing. It's funny because the first time I went through the research summaries, they have a new category. It's called microbiome.
Yes.
I always had to go through the GI labs and those kind of things. Not anymore. I can just look up microbiome. No wonder I got a theme here, right? Because I learned to hit the right button. Broop, here it all is. All it appears.
That's your secret. Now I know.
So, Dr. Brewster, we're out of time. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for participating in this with me. It's so fun to go through the research and look at it all. It's interesting and helpful and practical. Again, thank you for participating here. I want to let everybody know that I am your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks, where we treat gastrointestinal diseases such as diarrhea, constipation, heartburn, stuff like that. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.